Well, that's the truth, amen. He never said it wouldn't get hard. But he did say he'd be with us the whole time, amen. Praise God for that. I want to invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word tonight, to take it out and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, let me say it has been a good week. I thank God that He allowed me to be able to come here this week and to be able to preach the gospel here. I'd rather be here this week than I had anywhere else in the world. Amen? I'm saying that because I'm fixing to leave, but I mean, it's been great to be here. I got to do a little fishing today. Had my son beat me at fishing today and got to eat some fish. Just enjoy some good fellowship. So I'm excited. Amen? God's good. But I'm ready to pack that old bus up and get to the house. Back to Crowville and enjoy some of that as well. So I want to preach a message to you tonight entitled, What's Standing in Your Way? It's amazing to me, all the different places that I go, inevitably, everywhere you go and you preach the gospel, there's always going to be people there that hear the gospel. They hear the invitation of God and yet they're going to say no for whatever reason. Many people will say no because the fear of what others may say about them. Many people will say no to the gospel because of a fear of losing loved ones or family members or friends. Some people, I heard one preacher say this one time about grown men. He said it's amazing how men are scared of 40 feet of carpet. We won't give our lives to Christ because we don't want to come down in front of people and all of that kind of stuff. So my question, I guess, for you tonight is, what's standing in your way? What is it that's standing in your way keeping you from giving your sinful life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and letting Him save you of your sin? I want to show you through this passage of Scripture tonight a couple of gentlemen that allowed nothing to get in their way of trusting in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'll follow their lead. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 29. I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Matthew 20, verse number 29. The Bible says this, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed Him." That's talking about following Jesus. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still, and He called them, and He said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to Him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be open.' And so Jesus had compassion, and He touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed Him." Father, we thank You so much for, Lord, the subtle reminders that You give us in Your Word, Lord, that, Father, that You will set the captives free, whatever the situation may be, Lord, that You desire to save us from our sins. And so, Father, I pray tonight that You would do just that, save someone from their sins tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Listen why this passage of Scripture is amazing. A simple message tonight, but so powerful when you begin to look at it. The Bible says this in this passage of Scripture, that Jesus is leaving Jericho and a great multitude of people is following Him. Now, I mean, how many times have you heard that? I mean, you read in the New Testament, the Gospels especially, and it seemed like every time Jesus went anywhere, there was great multitudes of people that were following Him. And it's no different in this situation. The Bible says that Jesus was leaving Jericho and He was headed out to Jerusalem. Now that's about a 20-mile trek by foot. And so Jesus is heading from Jericho to Jerusalem. But you got to understand that Jesus has already made the statement to His disciples that He has set His face toward Jerusalem, and He set His face there for one particular reason, and that's to go die on the cross of Calvary so that people might have eternal life. So Jesus is on mission here. Jesus has already established and made up His mind. He's headed to the cross, and the final destination for Jesus is Jerusalem. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is that Jesus is a busy man, all right? Jesus is leaving Jericho. He's got a multitude of people with him. He's headed to the cross of Calvary to die. And yet we find in this passage of Scripture that right in the midst of all of that, that Jesus takes time out of his busy schedule to look at two blind men. Amen? And that's what the first thing I want you to understand is that Jesus took time to care for these men even though he was busy. Now you and I live in a busy, 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 busy society. We honestly make ourselves too busy. We can't even help people anymore because we're so busy helping ourselves. And so Jesus, as busy as he was, the Bible teaches us in this passage that he took time out of his busy schedule to help two individuals that were in need. And they happened to be blind people. The Bible says that these blind men were sitting out by the road. Now, you need to understand something about blind people. They were considered outcasts in that particular day. And the reason that they were is because people thought that the reason they were blind is because they had sinned against God, or else their parents had sinned against God. And so God had struck them down with blindness because of their sin. And so they were basically outcast, and they resorted to standing on the streets and begging and trying to get people to help them. And so they're standing out there by themselves, these two blind men, outcast to society, and yet they overhear the multitude coming by, and obviously they overhear people saying that Jesus is the one that's causing all this ruckus and why this multitude is passing by. So they immediately know that Jesus is on the scene, okay? They know that Jesus is there. Now they can't see him because they're blind. But they know that he's there, and they know that Jesus would be able to hear their voice. And so the Bible says that as these blind men are sitting there, they heard Jesus passing by, and so they begin to cry out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Now listen to what they just said. They said, "Have mercy on us." Now, mercy is to not give somebody what they deserve. And so these two blind men maybe believe that it's something that they have done that caused them to be blind. They may believe that because they're asking Jesus not to give them what they deserve. Does that make sense? Mercy. You've played the game Mercy before, when you lock hands with each other and one person, when they begin to about break your fingers, you holler, "Mercy, mercy, mercy," and they quit. They don't break your fingers in half. They don't give you what they could have given you. And so these two blind men are crying out to the Son of God, and they're saying, "Oh Lord, Son of David, don't give us what we deserve." And then as they begin to scream that out, the Bible says that the crowd that is gathered there together with them begins to chastise them. They begin to say to them, "Shut up! Be quiet! Don't say that again! Don't be crying out like that to him." And the Bible says after they tell them, "Stop crying out like that to him," the Bible says that they increased. They cried out all the more, the Bible says. And they cried out again, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." It just intensified. Now here's what I want you to know from that particular statement. The crowd told them to be quiet. Now it was a bunch of them. And they're two blind men who can't see. All right? And they're outcasts. And the big crowd said, "Be quiet." But here's what I want you to know. They did not let the crowd keep them from crying out to Jesus. It's like they were saying, "I don't really care what you say. I know that the Son of God is coming by, and so I'm going to cry out to him. I don't care what anybody thinks." And so they begin to cry all the more that Jesus Christ would have mercy on them. Now the question is, why did they do that? Why did they increase in volume? Why did they continue to have cry out for mercy instead of just being quiet like the crowd asked them to. I believe there's two reasons why their cries intensified and they didn't let the crowd dictate what they were going to do. I believe that it's because of this. Number one, they knew their condition. They were perfectly aware of their condition. They knew that they had absolutely zero chance of receiving any help from anyone else. And they knew, secondly, the power of Almighty God. And so they knew that there was one person on this earth that could help them not only with their physical ailment, but their spiritual ailment. And they knew that it was Jesus Christ. And listen, they did not want Jesus Christ to get out of earshot without hearing their cries. And so they said to the crowd, "We don't care what you say. We are going to cry out to Jesus because we know that He can help us." And so they cried all the more to Jesus Christ for Him to have mercy on them. And listen to this. So they didn't let the crowd dictate what they were going to do. They cried out to Jesus even though they told Him not to. And then the Bible says this in verse number 32. Notice this. They're crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And then it says, "So Jesus stood still and He called them and He said, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" I love that. The reason why I love that is because you see two men in great desperation. They know nobody else can help them. They know that Jesus is the only one that can help them. And they are so not scared of the crowd. They're not fearful of what the crowd will do to them. I mean, they don't hardly have a life right now anyway because they're considered outcasts. It's not like blind people in our culture today. We have people that help blind people in our culture today. But back then, they were outcasts. So it ain't like they had much of a life. You know what I mean? And so they just cry out. But remember, Jesus is busy. He's busy. He's on His way to the cross. I mean, He's got to get there. He's got to die for all of our sins that we might be forgiven. So He's got stuff to do. But in the midst of the crowd and people chattering in His ear and say, Jesus, we need to do this. And Jesus, we ought to do this. And you should do that. Because they're just knowing that Jesus is about to usher in some military kingdom. And they're like, we need to do this and we need to do that. But right in the midst of that great big old crowd, the Bible teaches us this. That Jesus heard the cry of two desperate men and He stopped in His tracks to help them. Now, I don't know about you. But that speaks volumes to me. And what it says to me is that this, that Jesus is never too busy to stop and take a listen to me. Jesus is never too busy to stop and take a listen to you. In the midst of everything that Jesus has going on in running the universe and running all of His creation and making sure that all of this stuff is working the way that He wants it to work, in the middle of all of that, Jesus will still stop and take the time to listen to you cry out to Him. That is amazing. And what's even greater than that is Jesus is so powerful and Jesus is so great that Jesus can listen to you and I right here tonight in this particular building and still listen to people over there in China at the same time. I mean, He's just that good. He's just that great. But the point is that you can, listen, you can never, Jesus will never be so busy that He will not listen to your desperate cry for help. So I'm saying this to you tonight. You have a captivated audience with Jesus tonight. In the midst of everything you've got going on, and in the midst of all that's happening in this world, Jesus will stop in His tracks tonight and He will listen to you. He will hear what you're crying out to Him. The question is, will you cry out to Him? That's the question. The Bible says that Jesus stops in His tracks. He stood still and then He called them and He said to them, here's what He said. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Here's what they said to Him. They said, "Lord, that our eyes might be open." Here's what they said. Maybe they've been blind since birth. And so maybe they're in their 30s. And so they're thinking, in their minds, they're thinking 30 something years. I've never been able to see. I just want to be able to see. That's all. I'm not asking for $1 million, God. I just would love to have my sight. Think about this. Having been blind from birth, when you hear people say, oh, that's a pretty shade of blue, you're going, what is blue? I don't know what blue is. Blue must be pretty. Because I hear people talk about blue, but I've never seen blue. I don't know what blue is. Can you imagine people around them going, look at the wind blow through the trees, and they're going, what does that look like? I've never seen wind blow through the trees. What does a tree look like? I've never seen trees. I don't know what a tree looks like blowing in the wind. They've never been able to see it. And you've got to imagine that in all of their desperation at this point, the only thing that they wanted was their sight. They just wanted to be able to see what everybody else was able to see. And so as Jesus stops in his tracks and he takes time to listen to these two men and all of their desperation, he asks them, he says, what is it that you want me to do for you? And these two men said, we just want to be able to see. That's all we want. To be able to open our eyes and be able to see what everybody else has been talking about all these years. And so the Bible says this, so Jesus had compassion. Now that's important. That's important. Jesus had compassion. Now listen to me. Compassion is not feeling sorry for somebody. Compassion is feeling sorry enough for somebody to do something about it. That's what compassion is. And so the Bible says that Jesus looked at them in their desperation, in the midst of their desperate plea, and Jesus felt sorry enough for them and loved them enough that he said within himself, I'm going to touch these men and make them whole. And so the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them, and it said that he touched their eyes. Maybe Jesus just put his hands upon their eyes, and the Bible says this, immediately. Immediately. Now listen, Jesus does, you got to understand, there's no cookie cutter way with Jesus. Cookie cutter. There's no cookie cutter way with Jesus. He does miracles different all the time. I mean, sometimes he says, all right, I'm going to slap some mud on there. I want you to go wash in the pool and then you'll be able to see. You know what I mean? But then there's other times whenever, like this one where Jesus says, the Bible says that he touched them. And as he touched their eyes, the Bible says immediately, they were able to see. They received their sight and they followed him, the Bible said. So I want you to picture this. That Jesus is standing in front of these two blind men. They've never seen anything in their life. All right? They've heard it, but they've never seen it. They've heard of Jesus, but they've never seen Jesus. And Jesus is standing there. Maybe he took this hand on one guy, this hand on the other guy. He reached out. He touched their eyeballs. And the Bible says immediately they were able to see. And the first thing they saw was Jesus. That's the very first thing that they saw. They saw the Son of God who had mercy on them and compassion on them and gave them their sight. And the Bible says this, important, they followed him. They followed him. Not only did Jesus heal them, but they gave their lives to Jesus. They followed him. Now here's why I'm preaching this message to you tonight. This is the reason why. Because some of you tonight, the Bible says that we are blinded by the enemy. Some of you cannot see spiritually tonight because the devil has blinders placed over your eyes. You can't see the things of God because you have blinders over your eyes. But the Bible is also very explicit and very vivid when it says that the Lord Jesus Christ can remove the blinders from your eyes, that the first thing you might be able to see when he removes them is Jesus Christ, the one who sets you free. And then, listen, and then when that happens, it's just only natural that you follow him. And so some of you tonight, the simple truth of the matter is this, you are lost. You are lost in your sin. You're headed to a place that you really do not want to go to. No one does. But because of your spiritual condition, that's where you're headed. And you can't see it because you're blinded. But God comes and He begins to speak to your heart. He begins to open your eyes that you might see your great sin and see your great need for a Savior. And when your eyes are directed toward that Savior and His name is Jesus Christ, then you choose to follow that Jesus, and that means giving your life to Him, and that means being saved. That's what some of you desperately need to do tonight. You say, Casey, I'm going to wait till later on in life. Who said you're going to wait till later on in life? Who says that you'll have the opportunity later on in life? I don't know that I will have the opportunity to even wake up tomorrow. I don't know. I don't control that. God does. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future. That's why the Bible says this, that today is the day of salvation. It never says tomorrow is the day of salvation. It says today. You say, how do I know that I'm the one that's blind and need to trust Christ? Listen, how do you not know? When God opens your eyes to see your sin and to see your separation, you'll know. I mean, you'll know that you need a Savior. You'll know that you're lost in your sin and you need Jesus. And then Jesus will give you sight. And you'll be able to see Him. And then you can choose to follow Him and trust Him with your life. And that is salvation, and that is the Christian life in a nutshell. But the question is, do you have that kind of life? That's the question. It's always my prayer and my hope when I go to preach a revival service anywhere that blind people would begin to be able to see. That people that are lost in their sin, their eyes would be open to their sin and they would trust in Jesus and follow Him. That's my hope and that's my prayer tonight. But listen to me, I can never make those decisions for you. Ever. I could never beat you into those decisions. If I could, I'd be a bad dude. I'd take every karate lesson there is, and I'd karate chop you to death to make you trust in Jesus. But the truth of the matter is this, I can never make you trust in Jesus Christ. It's between you and Him. It's something that God will open your eyes to see your sin, and then you follow Him. You make a choice to follow Him. So the question tonight is this, are you sinful? Are you sinful? And if you are sinful, God has opened your eyes that you might see that. Now you have a choice to make. You follow Him. You follow Him. And that is salvation. See, you young people, you think you got the whole life ahead of you. You really do. When I was your age, I was the smartest person in the world. I was. I was way smarter than my parents. You know, and then you know as you get older, you start to realize, well, you know, maybe them old dudes knew something. You know, and then you start reliving that deal. Because your kids are looking at you going, I'm a lot smarter than him. Yeah, you just kind of relive that whole scenario. But then as you get older, if you have the opportunity to get older, you can look back. Y'all ever heard the slogan, talking about vision being 20/20, you know, you can always look back on things and go, well, now I know what I should have done and what I shouldn't have done. Trust the old people when they say, well, I know because I can look back on my life and see where I made bad decisions and I should have done something different. You can always tell after it's over with what you should have done. I mean, can I get a witness on that one? Amen. 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 Listen, when God speaks to your heart about being saved, you need to do it, and you need to do it then. Because He knows best. And you need to trust Him. And tonight, I truly believe this. I believe there are blind people in this building. I believe there are people that are spiritually blind. But I also believe in a Savior. And I believe He's in this building. And I believe that He'll open your eyes that you might be able to see and trust Him and follow Him. And He will set you free of your sins and give you a place in eternity, spending it with Him forever. The question is that the kind of life that you want? And it's a lifestyle. It's a life. When you choose, here's what's so amazing. I was telling my children this the other day. Every time you see the invitation of God, it's always follow me. He always says, follow me, follow Him. They followed Him. Follow, follow, follow. Because that's what salvation is, really. It's following. And the reason you follow is because you've given your life to Him. It's no longer about you, it's about Him. And so you just go where He goes. You go where He says go. So the question is, do you want to follow Him? If you want to follow Him tonight, listen to me, you can. You can follow Him. You can follow Him. And that means that He's opened your eyes to see your sin and you can trust Him. So my prayer for you tonight is simply this. Just very simple. My prayer is that you would follow Jesus with your life tonight. That you would let Him save you from your sin. And you would follow Him tonight. Would you do that? Would you trust Him with your life? I promise you, you won't regret it. But you must make that decision. Let me pray for you. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, I pray, Lord, that You would open the eyes of the blind. Father, that the people that are here tonight that are lost in their sin, that they would be as desperate as these two blind men. And Lord, tonight that they would come to You asking You to have mercy on them. And God, You would open their eyes that they might see You, that they may follow. God, I pray for the teenagers tonight, the young people. God, I pray that during this invitation that their hearts would be open. I pray, God, they'd search their heart, not worry about their friends, but they would search their heart and they'd give their lives to You. God, I pray that You would help us to do as the blind men did in this passage of Scripture, Lord, that we would not let the crowd deter us from coming to Jesus. That we would not let anything, embarrassment, anything, keep us from coming to Jesus tonight. Lord, would You glorify Your name by saving people tonight? Lord, we love You because You first loved us. And we pray that You would magnify Yourself. In Jesus' name.